Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, Psalm 1. And I want to draw your attention to these six verses. It's only six verses. And I want to share with you the thought on prospering through the Word. Prospering through the Word. We've been talking about meditating and memorizing scripture in the month of March. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know how to encourage people more than try to emphasize it and plead with you and exhort you from the pulpit and try to be an example myself. But this is one of the most important things as a Christian is what you do with the scriptures. And I hope and pray that the Lord will help us this morning to each one of us to grow in some measure. Whoever is the most faithful in your meditating and Bible memorization and time studying the scriptures, I hope that the Lord will even enhance your time with Him. If you've not developed that at all, you've been saved, but you have no real Bible study time, no memorization effort at all. I pray that God will stir your heart this morning and that you will be moved on by the Holy Ghost to change. And even if you're here this morning and you're without Christ and you're lost and you don't know the Lord, our prayer is that maybe you'll come to know Christ this very morning, that you'll be saved. And that'll start a wonderful, sweet time of fellowship with you and the Lord Jesus. He is the living Savior. And He's not just on the backside of heaven somewhere, untouchable, unknowable. He lives in my heart. He's with us in this service. He'll walk with you and talk with you, and He'll help you to live the Christian life. Because without Jesus, none of us can live the Christian life. Amen? So Psalm chapter 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When the psalmist wrote this, all he had was about the first five books of our Bible. If he was writing in our day, he would say probably the Bible. Every word of God is important and needs to be meditated on. Amen? Amen. And he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree, verse 3, planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice verse 4, though. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Join me in prayer. Father, we need you, Lord. We pray that you would be lifted up in this service and glorified. God, it's our desire that those that are in this service that don't know you might come to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus today. But also, Father, for those that do know you, but their walk, their relationship with you is weak. It's not what it ought to be. Lord, they have no victory. They don't know the joy of fellowship with you. And God, they're looking at Christianity as the burden instead of the blessing that It truly is. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to their heart, that they would yield themselves to you and to your word, and they would respond to this section of scripture and commit, Lord, to be a student of the word of God and to search the scriptures, to think on the Bible and what it says. Lord, that they might have the prospering that you desire for them. And Lord, work in all of us. Change us this morning. Make us each more like Jesus because of your word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So as we've been working on meditating and memorizing the scriptures, I don't think that a lot of us know how critical the Bible is. I think that's one of our problems. I think that we feel like, well, I have the Holy Ghost, my name's written in the book of heaven, so I'm saved, and really that's all I need to be a believer and to do well in my Christian life, and we fail to remember what the Bible says about the Bible. The Bible says a lot about the scriptures and how essential they are to us, how necessary. Job said this in Job 23 and verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from thy commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job said, it's more important to me to have the Bible and to get a hold of the Word of God than it is to eat food, regular food. I'd rather have the Bible, spiritual food, than I would to have natural food. He knew something of how important the Bible is. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we're encouraged, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He said, your appetite for the word of God should be like that of a baby that's fresh born, desiring his mother's milk. Yes. You should crave it. Yes. You should cry out for it if you don't get it. Amen. Like, hey, help me.
That's right.
I need some milk. You can't let me just sit over here. Feed me. And he said, your spirit towards the Bible should be the same way.
Amen.
Lord, I have to have it. I can't do without it. I need it.
Yes.
I want to report to you, I'm sad to report this. Most time with many Christians, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 5 and verse 14 says this, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." See, God wants you to go from the milk of his word to graduate to want regular food. But that craving it shouldn't lessen. And our Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. This is what the Bible says about itself. And there are many other passages, by the way. But Jesus said this in Matthew 4, verse 4. When he was tempted to turn the stone into bread, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He said, man can't, he's not just going to be sustained with physical food. He has to have spiritual food.
Amen.
Just like he has to have physical food to live physically, he must have spiritual food to thrive spiritually. And the truth is, sad to say this, most Christians are not full fed on the word. They get a little nibble here, a little nibble there, and that seems to be satisfactory to them. In fact, most people get all they're going to get out of the scriptures on Sunday morning for about, it depends on who's preaching, for about 30 minutes or so. And then most don't even come back on Sunday night. They don't even come for Sunday school. I don't need Sunday school meal. I come for Sunday morning, and I fill my buffet plate up, and I don't even know if we do that. And I eat as much as I can, then I go home and don't eat anything until the next Sunday. Right? That's not how God would have us to treat His Word. So, for that reason, Psalms 1 is rich in its revelation concerning the effects and effect that the Word of God has on the individual. God says because of His Word, we can prosper. We can prosper in whatsoever we do. If we spend every day, night and day, thinking on, contemplating, going over, considering thoughtfully what the Bible says. And God said every aspect of our life would be prospered by His Spirit and His promise. So first of all, I want you to notice here a rejection. David begins with a negative. But even in the negative, there's a promise of a blessedness. Even in this negative, people don't like negative preaching. Well, you have to have it. You can't, without the negative, your car won't crank, right? You got to have positive and negative. You got to have both. And without the negative, we wouldn't understand what God has for us here in Psalms 1. But even in the statement, he says, there is a blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not. That blessed is in the plural compound, meaning blessed are the manifold happiness of the man. Blessed is the manifold, many manifold blessings, happiness of this man, because he or she gets a hold of the Bible and meditates in it morning and night. And so he starts out with a negative. There has to be a rejection. A rejection. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the Inland China Mission, said, "There is a blessedness that is not of the Word, but of the world." I would encourage you to look up his sermon on Psalm 1. And this is the blessing that most people go after. It's the physical blessings of the world. It's the material blessings of the world. It's contacts and friends and success of the things of the world. And we spend most of our time worrying about that aspect of blessedness, which is not really a blessing at all. It's of the world. It's worldly ways. It's sinful compromises to gain certain things, which only lead to the wealth, but not to true happiness or true joy. You can be successful in this world and be miserable. Right? Why aren't you happier than what you are? There should be overflowing joy. If the things of this world satisfy, you should be walking around on cloud nine. And people, what is wrong with you? It's just, man, I'm so happy. I mean, this world is meeting all of my needs. It couldn't be any better. And because your smile is turned upside down and it's a frown, we know something is missing. The blessings and joy that God gives are not going to be found in the material things of this world. And you want proof of that? Just look at the wealthiest men in the world. Are they happy? Riches cannot satisfy. I know you think they can. But they can never do something on the inside. And by the way, there's so many other aspects to life that I'd rather have than money in the bank. Wouldn't you? There must be a rejection. First of all, we must reject their advice. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word counsel there is the word advice. You say, preacher, I don't go and listen to the world and sit down and take notes and and try to learn what I'm supposed to do. You didn't do that when you were a little boy or girl either in your mom and dad's house, but you started speaking. They didn't sit down over and over again and say, now say, well, they might have said, say mama, mama. You know, there's always a competition. Which one's going to be said first, right? I try to sneak in papa. I try to get them to say papa first, but I've failed miserably so far. But you don't, most of the time they just start saying words. Like, where did they get that from? They watched you, they listened, you said it over and over again, and they got a hold of it. But what we're doing is we're letting the world give us all of this information and advice and counsel, and we willingly and freely open ourselves up to it. Almost 24/7. What is that, the source of that counsel? It's Facebook, YouTube, and podcast, and X, and Twitter, and sports, and secular books, and conversations with the unsaved, and co-workers, and neighbors, and all of them are telling us stuff all the time, giving us all kind of... Has anybody ever given you some unsolicited advice? You brought up a problem and they said, well, let me tell you what you need to do. And you, if you, you could push that conversation in reverse, you'd say, stop. Never bring that up, would you? But we don't realize how much the world is advising us, how much they're counseling us. In our books at school, counsel, advice, and in everything of the world, they're always trying to give us their thoughts, their ways of doing things, how to have success. In fact, they call people on TikTok and Twitter influencers. Ever wonder why they call them influencers? Because they influence your behavior. The source of their counsel, it could be one person that you just really think, he is the beeswax. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. Listen to him 3 or 4 months later. He's changed. The selfishness of their counsel. There's only two ways. It's the broad way or the straight and narrow way. The broad way, there are many people that walk down the broad way of life. The broad way over the gate there is me first. It is selfishness. By the way, the world's advice and counsel, that is their message. You first. Take care of yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. You know that even creeps into the church? You've heard people say this before. You can't learn to love others until you learn to love yourself. Can I say something to you? Your problem is you already love yourself way too much. That is your problem. You need to learn to love other people. That's when you get, you know, help is when you start loving other people. And the selfishness of their counsel. The narrow way, and few live this way, is the Lord's is first. By the way, if there is a God, and there is, amen? It should be that way. God should have the priority. If he's God, that the very word defines the fact that he should have supreme place in my life. First place, right? Amen. You are not going to be blessed by putting him third and fourth and fifth and down the road. Lord, I'll get to you sometime. And the sadness of their counsel. Nobody's blessed. I heard a lady struggling in her marriage. She went to a psychologist, and the psychologist said, man, this is what you need to do. You need to go find yourself. You know what she did? She left her husband and her children in search of herself. Guess what? Her husband wasn't made better. Her children weren't made better. Listen to me. And she was made far worse. It doesn't lead to the blessedness that the world promises. It leads to a deep sense of sadness and grief in the soul. Why? Because joy comes in a right relationship with God. Amen. Not in how much money you have in the bank or many of the things this world emphasizes, right? Right. We must reject their activities. He goes on to say, not only that we should not listen to their counsel, nor standeth in the way of sinners. It moves from belief to behavior. It always does. You're convinced of something in the world, guess what you're going to do? You're going to start living that way. If somebody convinces you of something, you need to do this. You're going to start bending your life and start acting in that way. Belief always influences behavior. Their counsel leads to a conduct. That's what the writer of Psalms is saying here. Don't walk in their counsel because it leads to standing and living the way sinners live. Doing what the sinners do. The way here is their lifestyle, their beliefs, their systems. You're going to start acting the way they act. No wonder we should reject their counsel. Amen? Not only does he say we should reject their counsel, but he also encourages us to reject their attitude.
Yes, yes.
By the way, have you ever noticed this? People are experts on marriage. Are the ones who've been divorced 5 or 6 times. But they know how to fix your marriage. What you need to do is go to somebody who's been married 70 years.
Okay.
And say, how in the world do you make it?
Yeah.
What did you do? Amen?
Amen?
We must reject their attitude. That advice leads to a way to live, activities, and that activity leads to an attitude that is rebellious against God. It's contrary to God. Instead of being a student, they become scornful. Instead of receiving instructions, they revile instructions. I know it. You can't tell me anything. They're scornful. Instead of listening to an appeal, they laugh and they mock. And so the psalmist said, for these reasons, reject that. Don't pattern your life after the world. Then he gives here a rejoicing as well. Look at verse 2. Talking about how to prospering through the word. How can I prosper through the word? Look at this rejoicing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, I want you to notice this carefully with me. What does the psalmist put first when he starts trying to show us? Now, don't do this, but this is what I want you to do. He first puts the emotion there, delight. But the man that loves it, that delights in it. It's not just about, okay, I want to prosper, and so I'm going to start reading the Bible in the morning and evening so my bank account increases. And God said, no, that's the wrong attitude come to the Word of God. It's not about what you money you gain and things like that. It's about loving the Word. It's about being loyal to the Word. It's about having joy in the Word. I find what I need in the Bible. Most of the time our minds go immediately to the requirement to meditate. How many of you have read this so many times and skipped? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We go to the requirement, meditate day and night. And then so we try to start meditating day and night, and we're like, that's a little tough, you know. I'm a morning person. That means in the morning, I'm an E-I-E-I-O in the morning. I'm happy in the morning. And in the evening, I'm a old boy. And who's that character, the donkey? I'm an Eeyore.
Oh boy, oh no. It's bad. It's terrible.
In the morning, I'm like, it's a wonderful day. I love reading the Bible, studying the Word in the morning. Not so much in the evening. And so I go to the requirement. I say, Lord, you know, morning and evening, how much more do you want? And that's where we find the real conflict starts with delight. I need to know that there's great treasures here. There's blessings here. There's benefits here. There's joy here. You know, we go to the world so often for entertainment. And depends on what kind of person you are. Some people like romantic movies. Some people still like cowboy Indian stuff. Some people like the action packed stuff, you know. We're like, oh, that was good. That was, you know, that was great. And we love that. And we come to the Word of God and we treat it like it's the most boring book in all the world. Can I tell you something? That hurts the heart of God. If we understood how amazing and wonderful the Bible is, we could not help but spend morning and evening in it. You wouldn't have to plead with us. We wouldn't have to try to discipline ourselves to it, right? Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is quick or living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It's the living, active word. It's not the dead book at all. James 1 verse 21 says this, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." That superfluity of naughtiness means just an abundance of wickedness. Lay aside that. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." So we're to delight in the Bible. The psalmist said this in Psalms 119, 103. "How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You think he was just kind of trying to find words to write down, or was he trying to express a true feeling of his heart? He goes on to say in Psalms 119, 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." In Psalms 119, he repeats over and over again how much he loves the Word of God. "I love thy Word. I love thy commandments. I love thy statutes. I love thy precepts." Psalms 119, 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." You see, we've got a wrong attitude about our Bibles. We've got a wrong spirit toward our Bibles. When we can start looking at the Bible and see it is wonderful, it is sweet, it is a lovely book, and then we'll find ourselves in it more and more and more because we can't get enough of it. Amen? He says this in Psalms 119, 140. "Thy word is very pure." And I say amen to that. "Therefore thy servant loveth it." And you can't get many things pure in this world. Amen? But you can go to the pure word of God. So we're to delight in the Bible, but we're to digest the Bible as well. That word meditate implies chewing on the scriptures, mulling them over. It's a picture of a cow who's eating grass, and they have four stomachs, and the cow chews, and then she sits down, and she'll get that up, and she'll chew on it, and move it to another part of her stomach. She has four compartments. She'll bring it back up, chew on it some more, get more nutrients out of it, move it to the third compartment of her stomach. She's still not finished. She brings it back up again. She gets every little bit of nourishment out of that grass she can get. And that's how we're to treat the Word of God. We're not, you know what we do a lot of times? If we read our three chapters in the morning, which puts up some target for reading the Bible through in a year. All right, read my three chapters. Now let me go to something important. Now listen, is that not the case sometimes? If we're being honest. And we need to change our mindset about that. And realize how sweet and precious that the Word of God is. Meditating means to dwell on anything in thought. To turn it over and revolve it. Revolve any subject in our mind. To contemplate. To think biblically on a passage. It's to think on the truth of it, and it's to pray over it. Lord, can I see something else here? Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of that law. It is thinking about it, and it's praying about it. It's thinking about it and praying about it. Lord, is there anything else there that I need to see that I might have missed? Can I say this? I'm just honest confession. I need to be a better meditator if I'm going along with that definition. How many of y'all agree? You could do the same thing. Amen? If I come to a passage and I just glean out of it, but if I stayed there and I prayed over it, I thought on it, and I asked more questions, and I searched, and I defined more words, and I prayed, God, open my eyes, I may see things that I've never seen before in my entire life. Talking to my father-in-law, had a lady in his church. He was trying to counsel. He said, ma'am, I've spent 58 years studying that Bible, and I find things in it new every day. She said this. This is the mindset of most people in the world. She said, if I studied anything 58 years, I think I'd know it by now. You know what that revealed? She knows nothing of the Bible. She has no concept of the Bible. If you meditate on it day and night and prayed over every verse and brought it before God like we're ought to in the scriptures, at the end of your life, there'd be a massive amount of great truths in the Bible that you hadn't dug up yet. Exactly. We're to digest the Bible, but we're also supposed to be diligent in it. Notice what he said in verse 2. He said we need to meditate in it day and night.
Yes. Yes.
He didn't say one day a week. He didn't say once in a while. He said what you need to do is get in it day and night. Can I mention quickly the rewards of the Bible? Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You say, why am I not being successful as a Christian? Have you obeyed this passage? Have you mused over the Word of God, prayerfully considered? Have you fallen into deeply? Have you spent time before God? Praying over a verse of scripture, and God said, here's the secret for you to be a prospering Christian. Get in my word. Learn of it. By the way, it transforms every aspect of life. I wish I knew now what I know when I was a young father. I wish I knew what I know now as a young father. It transformed, I think, some of the ways that I would have dealt with my family and my children. Remember this, God never fails to keep a single promise. Would you count this as a promise? If you'll meditate in it, pray over it, muse over it, think about it, morning and evening, I'll prosper you in every way. And by the way, so it's mainly spiritually, he said. Will he keep his word?
Amen.
That's a great place to say yes.
You know,
yes, he will. Amen. Notice quickly the setting of the tree. Have you seen this before? He shall be like a tree planted. And a lot of times we think about this tree by the waters. We think of a tree that's been just up by accident. It just grew up there. No. God has given you rivers of water. And he said, listen, if you'll just plant yourself here, I promise you, you will flourish. He's the one that's given us this location. God puts you in that spiritually prosperous place. And he does that so you can grow. Amen? Did you see also the sources for this tree? He said, "You shall be like a tree planted by the plural rivers, not just a river." What if that one dried up, Brother Bruce? There's a few more. I'm going to make sure you're cared for. If this changes, I got plenty still coming your way. Amen? Amen. One runs dry, the others will take it up, implying that spiritual prosperity would come from many different directions. Amen?
Amen.
Then notice the strength of the tree. It's planted by the rivers of water. The picture is that the roots grow deep, deep, deep.
Amen.
Why is that important? Because storms come, and they come to everybody. They're coming your way. They're coming my way. And they come at different seasons in life, right?
Amen.
Now the tree whose roots go down deep, they can withstand even hurricane winds. Amen?
Amen?
But the roots that are just on the surface, just at the surface, topple over in any storm. Is that true, Brother Bruce? Those roots that are just on the surface, a strong wind comes, does it rock that? It may be like a large oak tree, but the roots haven't grown deep. Winds come, and it'll uproot all the roots. You'll see every bit of the roots. Why? Because it didn't go down deep. I'm afraid for some of us, our roots are just surface roots. It looks like right now you're doing good. It's a big tree. Plenty of acorns. Everybody's looking at your life. They think, wow, that's great. But a storm's coming. What you going to do when that storm comes? By the way, a storm reveals a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
It reveals whether you have a faith that's trusting in God no matter what, or faith that trusts in God only in good times. I hope I haven't lost y'all. I hope you see that. Then the sustenance of the tree is going to bring forth its fruit in its season. You know, God's going to use your life to be a blessing to other people. And God can't use your life to be a blessing to other people unless you are prospering in the Word. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to. And let the Word of God get in you. Amen?
Amen?
We'll stop there this morning, but I hope that you see in the Bible how important the Bible is. You're not going to be a strong, prospering Christian as long as you keep neglecting the Word. If that's true in your life, I beg you to repent of that today. I beg you to come to an altar and say, "God, forgive me for being a neglecter of your word. I don't want that anymore. I want to be consistent in meditating in the Bible. Please forgive me of neglecting the word and help me, enable me from this day forward to be a student of the scriptures." And if you are a student of the scriptures and you study the word of God faithfully, maybe the Holy Spirit will nudge you. Is there anything more that you ought to be doing in your study? Should there be a nighttime study? Or should there be just more time meditating over what you have read and praying over it? God, help me to see. Help me to understand. Show me the truth of these verses. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I plead with you, come to Jesus. There is a real heaven and there's a real hell. None of us knows when we're going to leave this world. 10 out of 10 people die. And after this, the Bible says the judgment. Amen? If you're not saved, You can't go to heaven just because you're a good person. You have to go to heaven by holding the hands of Jesus. Come this morning and receive Christ as your Savior. Amen. And Christian, if you're not flourishing, if you're not thriving in your Christian life, the answer most likely is you are neglecting the Bible. Maybe you should come this morning and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be faithful in your word. Amen. Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and his faithful example.